Happy feast day. Got to say that first. Feast day of the Epiphany. The Epiphany is kind of a strange event. In order to really understand the Epiphany, we have to understand who these Magi are. So these Magi, they're not just Gentiles. They're not just pagans. They worship the stars. They do magic. There's somebody that possibly could curse you, literally like a curse, things like that. And by a Jewish standard, that would be like, okay, what's going on here? You know, here you got these liars, they're like the scum of the pagans. And so it kind of raises some eyebrows to see what's going on here. What that should do for us is that should give us hope that even the black sheep, yes, even the black sheep have hope. And when you look at even, you got these three guys, we don't know really how many, but traditionally we have three guys. They're the Magi. And they come and they're worshiping, they got the worship of the stars. They see this God as this totally other. Up there in the heavens, that's the power of God, right? So you got this totally other. God doesn't come down to us, right? So sometimes it seems that way for us. Sometimes it seems that God is totally other. You know, he's this thingy out there. And when you look at these wise men, these Magi, when they follow this star, it's like following the Israelites, following that pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire at night at the great, we would call the Exodus event, where they're leaving Egypt. And the people say, I will follow you, God. Wherever you take me, I will follow you. And the Magi are kind of doing this too, but they don't understand what they're doing quite yet. They know somebody very, very important, a newborn king, a very important king, not just any king, but some very important king has now been born, and they want to do him homage. So they're following this star, what they think is this God out there, this thingy. And when they come to discover, when they come to the home, to the stable, they find out God is intimate. He's not this thing out there. He's somebody. And so now they discovered an intimate. They start to enter into this relationship with God. It starts to, as the light is dawning on him, they discover the true light, Jesus Christ. It's to discover who this God is, that they can have a relationship, that they can be in his presence. And so they actually physically, they're giving him a gift. They see his physical presence, the physical presence of God here on earth. They discover that truly God has so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It is now a reality. It is now a reality. Do we look at God in that way too? Where we can truly have an intimate relationship with God, where we can actually get to know him. That person. Now, for some of us, that might be a scary thing, especially if we're the black sheep. But to know that he came as that little baby, we start to know that he is truly merciful, that he truly loves us. And as the Magi discover that God is somebody, that is somebody we can have a personal relationship, not just that, an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We can have an intimate relationship with him. And how do we do that today? We do that through the incarnation on the altar, where God comes and visits us. God comes down from heaven and comes in his physical form right here on the altar. And so we get to come and adore him, just like the song says, just like the Magi did that night when they visited Jesus. They were on bended knee and they came and adored him. And it is through that adoration that they discover God. And so that's why I want to invite you to come to adoration. Come to adoration often. Just simply being in the presence of God gives us many graces. One of the things that we do is when we come to adoration, God fills us with his knowledge. You think of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, particularly wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel. We start to put on the mind of Christ, and it's an intellectual knowledge. It's a real knowledge. You know, sometimes we think our faith is like, well, okay, I know that, but how do we explain it? That's one of the difficult things about our faith. We can't necessarily explain everything. Everything we know, every bit of knowledge we have comes from the world around us. We learn progressively. I mean, that's just how we learn. Scientists use that. I mean, there's no escaping it. That's how we learn. We progress in knowledge, and we learn from the things around us. Now, we're using words that describe the nature around us, the natural things around us, to try to describe the supernatural. It's not gonna do justice. We try our best to describe the supernatural by words that describe the nature. And so the teaching of the church, I can talk to you till I'm blue in the face, but there are certain things in our faith that I cannot teach you. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And when we're in his presence, when we're in his physical presence, we start to understand things that through human reasoning, we just don't have that ability. Basically, in short, we're infused in a certain sense with this knowledge. We're infused with the same knowledge that the angels would have. It's a direct knowledge of God, and not through the medium of using images. Images are good because it teaches us, but it's direct. God is sharing with us his mind. And so it's a supernatural knowledge that we gain just from being in his presence in the Eucharist. So many times we think that that knowledge is inferior to human reasoning, when actually it is superior to human reasoning because it is of the supernatural, not of the natural realm. Therefore, it is more certain. It is more well-grounded because it's grounded in God, grounded in a direct knowledge of God and not through human reasoning, which can falter. God's reasoning never falters. That's the grace we get when we are in his presence. And so even if it's like 2 minutes, if it's just 2 minutes to adore our Lord, do it. There is a guy back a couple hundred years ago, St. John Vianney. There was a guy who would come in the back door. He was on his way to work. He would come in, kneel at the back pew. He's a good Catholic, kneel in the back pew. Right? And he would just kneel in a door for 2 minutes and go. Wouldn't say anything, just sit there and kneel and go. And so St. John Vianney was like, what is this guy doing? He's not doing anything. It's just 2 minutes. You know, I can't spend more time. And he was, you know, it's kind of judging him, you know? And so he asked him one day, he says, what are you doing? Now, what are you getting out of this? You know, you're just coming here for 2 minutes. And all he said was, you know, I look at him, he looks at me. That's it. That's that's a good thing. And it makes me think about how parents, or you look at older couples, and they can just simply be in the presence, and they're comfortable with that. They know what each other's thinking. There's a love that they have for each other that has matured and grown. In a similar way, it's kind of like I think of the teenagers, of course, maybe it's texting now. Maybe it's not phone calls. I don't know. I'll have to have some of the teenagers tell me what it is. But, sometimes when they first fall in love, and they're on the phone, and they go like, hi. And they have about like 2 minutes of silence. And then they respond, hi. Another 2 minutes of silence. How are you? Another 5 minutes of silence. Fine. What are they doing? I mean, they're doing nothing, but they love to hear each other's voice. They're just simply enjoying being in each other's presence, even if it's over the phone, even if it's through, texting, internet, you didn't have to tell me, but just simply enjoying being in the presence. And that's what we do when we're with God. We're the one who is love. Just simply being in His presence. And we're in His presence, it helps us understand who He is, not just about Him. We understand His character. It gives us courage that He is truly merciful. If we still think God is totally out there and we're asking, where are you, God? Come to adoration. Get to know Him. He's right there. If you have the ability, it's great to be able to actually sign up for adoration time. And one of the great things about that is that it convicts you. I think of, I got this bicycle machine, right by my bedroom. I used it for the first week, and I don't think it was a full week even. And I haven't been on it since. So it's like going to the gym. You sign up for it, and it's like, you don't go. But if you sign up for adoration, it convicts you because Jesus is counting on you, and the other people who adore Jesus Christ count on you, and those who you pray for when you're in front of the Eucharist are counting on you. So not only do you get grace, but everybody you pray for while you're in front of the Eucharist gets grace too. So it convicts you to do what you need to do so that you can truly experience and learn what the Magi learned. That God isn't just totally other. He is an intimate person. That He truly wants to be in your life. He wants to be active in your life. And like the Magi, once they discovered the child Jesus, their whole life was transformed. I think that's something that we could all use.